something for the weekend on Saturday. How are you? It's Trina Mara, and Dr. Christina Mulvaney, GP with webdoctor.ie, is back. The last time you were on, we were talking all about contraception and all the different methods for women, and it was very, very informative. Today, I want to talk to Christina about the pandemic and how it's kind of really changed our outlook on our health. 89% of people plan on prioritising their health in the next 6 months. So what does that mean? What have people said?
Yeah, and I suppose how wonderful that we have a number of 89%, almost 9 out of 10 people wanting to prioritise their health, recognising the importance of it. The pandemic gave us all an opportunity to reflect on life and being healthy and how important it really is. And it's fantastic to see how many people are actually wanting to make things better through exercise and dietary changes, and I suppose mental health, to be honest, as well, because that has been a pretty common topic that has come up throughout the pandemic, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think as well, when people were, well, I think the entire country has pretty much have had COVID at this point. I haven't. Can you believe that? But I think, you know, when we heard about the symptoms of COVID and the long COVID and everything, and how if you were in poor health to begin with, you were going to be more badly affected. People kind of got that wake up call going, oh, maybe I do need to do something about my lifestyle and, you know, to prevent getting sicker from COVID as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you mentioned there about the mental health. I mean, yeah, it hasn't been great for people. Have you noticed a lot more people speaking to you about their state of mind? Yeah.
Yeah. So mental health, I feel like it's a pretty common topic. I mean, I would say, you know, a good 30 to 40% of our consultations are probably related to mental health, and of all ages, interestingly. Like, I mean, I see kids with mental health issues, even like 8-year-olds and 6-year-olds, all the way up to, you know, 90 and 100. So it's not just affecting one group, it's affecting everybody. And I suppose, you know, with the pandemic, a lot of people were being locked away and, you know, not able to interact with their friends and family and stuff like that. So I suppose it really did take a large toll on people in general.
It's a weird one, because when I think of mental health, for some reason, I always think of younger people, like in their 20s. And you mentioned there the older people, the people in their 80s and their 90s, and the loneliness that they experienced during this time as well. I mean, all their social activities, like their day centres and their day clubs and everything was gone.
Yeah, and I mean, even like, you know, thinking about, oh, I'd love to see my grandkids, or maybe not even getting to meet them, or like you were mentioning earlier, like the chronic diseases, and being so fearful that, oh my God, I can't see, see you at all, because God forbid I did catch it and I have diabetes and high blood pressure, or maybe cancer as well. Yeah, that played a massive, massive toll. And you hear about these really sad, but like nice stories where people would be like, oh, I had to bring them over to the new baby to the house, and I showed them through the window and stuff. You know, it affects all ages.
Well, the good news is that we're coming through it, and people have changed, and they are deciding to change their lifestyle habits too. Talking things like their diet and their nutrition, and even getting outdoors. I'm sure as a GP, people go to you and they just want a prescription for something.
Well, whereas, quick fix.
Yeah, but I'd say a lot of the time you're saying to them, well, your diet and your nutrition and being active is probably just as important as getting medication.
Yeah, I would almost suggest more important. There's no point in taking a pill for everything when, you know, it's something like having a takeout, you know, a couple of times a week and not getting off the couch because you're watching loads of Netflix. I mean, every tablet, no matter how good it might be, they always have some sort of drawback to them. So doing things by making changes to your lifestyle, like quitting smoking and eating healthy foods instead of sugary beverages and sugary foods or takeouts all the time, and making sure that you are kind of moving about, because we're made to move. We're not made to sit all the time. I think life has come to sit in front of a television a lot, or a tablet, or a computer. With work, we're meant to move. That's a world of good, even for our mental health, to be honest. If you're not eating good food, you're not exercising regularly, you're going to be more likely to suffer from mental health issues as well.
Yeah, so you feel rubbish, don't you, as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't do you any benefits at all.
There were, and I'm going to pick on the women here a little bit, just because I seem to have seen it in women more so than in men, this kind of culture that I think really became very popular during the pandemic. This wine o'clock, a bottle of wine nearly every day with some people. How much should we really be having alcohol wise per week? As a GP, would you say?
Well,
I mean,
studies,
we should be having none.
Lowering them. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, they keep edging closer to zero, right? There's that, you know, the red wine with a meal, you know, that's supposed to be good for your heart and stuff like that. So a lot of people kind of grasp onto those things. But I suppose with alcohol, you know, it's packed full of sugar. And I mean, it's a depressant as well, which doesn't help with mental health issues. You definitely don't want to be drinking every day of the week, which unfortunately, there is a large portion of the population that is doing that. One or two drinks, maybe a couple of times a week would be a reasonable amount.
What do you do then, Dr. Christina, when somebody does an online consultation and say they want to give up smoking? What advice can you give?
There's plenty of options available. There's Nicorette products. So those, they have like patches, gums, lozenges, sprays, inhalers. So there's loads of different Nicorette or similar products on the market. And they're basically nicotine replacements. And they work quite well. And actually, if you look at the studies, in combination work particularly well. So if you use like a patch and the gum or a patch and the inhaler, you seem to get much better results. Or then you have more products. So there's unfortunately a short supply of things. Short supply of all these medications. Champax, it's a tablet that you would take for 3 months. You basically take it morning and evening over that period. It is excellent for helping quit smoking. Now, the unfortunate thing is it's just in short supply at the moment. So
give me the name of that again. It sounded like you said Tampax.
Tampax. T-H-A-M-P-I-X.
Tampax is not going to help you quit smoking.
No, probably not. But Tampax. Yeah, very, very good medication. So people seem to really feel like they don't want to smoke quite quickly after starting it, like within like 4 to 6 weeks. They're like, oh, I'm cured. And then they stop taking it. And that cohort that stopped it before the 3 months, I find that they are more likely to kind of start it down the line. I usually always say to people, make sure you take it the full 3 months. Even if you think you're cured, take it the full 3 months, because those people seem to not go back to smoking. Yeah. And it really does. It really, really works well.
Are there side effects for that? I think I heard of one years ago, and it makes someone kind of physically vomit.
It wouldn't be something that I would have many coming back to me about. I mean, there was question about not prescribing it to people with mental health issues in the past, but that has kind of gone to the wayside. They don't feel like that's the case anymore, that we can't prescribe it to people with underlying mental health issues. I think it was more a case of a lot of people would use it as a stress relief, and then you took away that stress reliever by taking away the cigarettes, and that kind of was maybe setting off some mental health issues. No, not particularly. Generally, I would say it's fairly well tolerated. It wouldn't be something that I get too many people coming back saying, oh, I can't take this.
I know in the survey, 95% of people said they're more comfortable now having an online GP consultation, because this is the world now. This is how everyone's doing, you know, their work meetings. Even today, I got a message from the school that my little one is going to be starting. And they said, oh, are you available to do a Zoom? You know, everyone is just so used to that now, like for a parent-teacher meeting. Can you talk to somebody on webdoctor.ie if you are struggling with your mental health as well as your physical health?
Well, absolutely. I suppose it's not something that really requires a physical, like hands-on assessment. So actually, a video consultation is the perfect platform for something like that. The main thing is listening. That's the really important thing. And you can definitely do that via video consultation. And it would be a significant portion of our workload. And we're able to prescribe medications, and they're able to get back in touch with us and have follow-up and stuff like that. And we can do referrals if necessary to psychology and psychiatry as well. So no, it works perfectly for that platform. And actually, I know even in the HSE, like the mental health services, they would do virtual consults even in the HSE through the normal secondary care system.
So if you're feeling down, you're not yourself, instead of waiting and waiting and waiting just to act on it before it gets too bad, I guess.
Yeah. And actually, I was just thinking, like, one real big advantage of it is, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, so-and-so won't leave the room, or they don't want to leave the house. It's really nice that you have an option that you don't necessarily have to leave your room or your house. You know, you can start that process in your room where you feel maybe more comfortable and stuff. Start talking to a doctor and arrange, you know, help for yourself without ever leaving your home if you're feeling like some people are afraid to even leave their houses, you know.
Yeah.
So it is. It's a fantastic service for that purpose.
Well, we'll let you get back to it. Dr. Christina Mulvaney there, GP with webdoctor.ie, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye. It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.